Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. I'm your editor, Ross Atherton, and joining me today in the PC Gamer studio are...
Tim Edwards, deputy editor.
Tim Edwards, hello and
hello.
Welcome. And
Tom Francis, section editor, master of stealth.
Hello, Tom. And finally...
Craig Pearson, a.k.a. Buck Sexington.
Excellent. We did cover on a previous podcast why
we've done it many times over, good. To be honest.
I've recently
I think everyone knows by now that my memory is incredibly bad. I can't remember what we talked about previously.
Recently changed my Steam name to Sap Brannigan because I've been sapping so much as a spy in Team Fortress 2.
See, but I thought the whole idea was that no one knew you were a spy.
Well, this doesn't directly relate to me because it's this whole new name, so no one knows that's really Tom
Francis.
No
one knows it's you.
As long as I don't say it in a podcast or anything, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Good. We have started
fail
recording.
Fail dogs.
Fail. Fail. Good. Excellent. So we're all here and we're all ready for a new podcast. What are we going to talk about today, Tim?
We thought we could start with the charts.
Uh-huh. And then we're going to talk about the new issue, which comes out on June the 5th, which has...
Some small, massive multiplayer game on the
front. You may have heard of it. It's proving increasingly popular. You may find yourself playing World of Warcraft at some point. We've got the new stuff on Wrath of the Lich King, which is due out later this year.
It's got snow in it.
Snow and goats.
Lack of boars.
No boars.
No boars.
Are you sure there are no boars in it?
Shovel tusks.
Is there dancing in it?
There are some new dances.
Excellent.
Possibly.
I'd half like to think Shovel Tusks is the name for boars in World of Warcraft, and I'd half like to think that's just a curse that you have sometimes.
Yeah.
Shovel Tusks.
I think that should be the name of Dan, our art editor's new band. He's just bought himself a bass guitar. Shovel Tusks would be a great name.
That'd be good, actually.
Actually, shall we call our rock band Shovel Tusks?
Don't we have an awesome name already lined up for it?
It was the Sucksaw or something.
The Sucks Pistols.
The Sucks Pistols.
Oh, I like the Sucks Pistols. Yeah. Although that's actually quite rude. That's even ruder than Sex Pistols, really.
I can't see anything that coming out rude anyway, so.
Yeah, see?
In your endo.
Oh, God. By the way, listeners, I'm sorry if I'm coughing and sputtering a bit. I'm getting over the flu and sitting very close to Tim today, so hopefully he's going to get it too and share my misery.
Can we do the charts?
Yes, let's do the charts.
We've come to a decision that we're...
Hang on.
Wait.
Charts jingle. Da, 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 it's the charts.
We don't have a jingle,
do we? No, but
these promised jingles never materialised.
No, they didn't. I'm going to have to get that guy. Anyway,
we have a jingle for the end of the charts.
What's that?
Well, the time will come.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's not a new one.
All right. Where are we going to start with the charts?
We've come to a decision in that we're only going to talk about the interesting games in the charts.
Right, so, and that's the end of the charts. It's May, it's nothing selling that's interesting, surely.
Well, there are some games selling, but I thought we'd start at number 18. We talk about the only interesting games, The Sims 2 Double Dragon.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, okay, let's pick the interesting ones. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas, number 2, is at number 15.
Okay,
good.
Which
excellent.
Is
good
quite,
for it.
That quite good.
It's okay.
Like
yeah.
The last
it's very much like the last Rainbow
it's just
Six
very
Vegas.
Much an expansion pack tied up as
is
a sequel, really.
Set in casinos.
Isn't it down at the
it's
scummy
more,
end of
yeah,
Vegas?
It's warehouses and areas like that.
You could almost say that series that happen in Vegas stay in Vegas.
Whee!
Yeah,
but you wouldn't want to.
Do they actually promote that as their like official
slogan
of the city? No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in Vegas.
Vegas, you mean?
Yeah, no, Vegas.
I thought you meant Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
No, not the game. What was it called again, Tom?
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Okay. Well, Tom Clancy's
you have to do it like
Chelsea
a football present.
Yeah, the real Las Vegas does actually use the tagline, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
As though they are
commit
promoting themselves.
Here, please.
Yeah. Come here, commit your filthy sins, and then go home to your wife and pretend it never happened.
An
it really sucks if you live in Vegas, because everything you do will be with you forever.
Yeah.
There's an exception to that rule. Herpes.
Yeah, no, you carry that.
Or any sort of sexual transmitted disease, when you think about
or
it.
Or gambling debts, because the mafia will follow you. So, in fact...
They obey the Vegas rule.
It's a bit misleading, really.
So were your local building society.
I think we've edified exactly how good that game is.
I'm glad we do this. You know, I think it really helps our listeners.
No, Vegas 2 is fun. Just putting that out there.
Number 12 is Crysis.
Again. Is that going up?
Still selling.
Well, it's still selling.
Yeah. Well, I guess people are gradually buying PCs that can actually run it, and it's
that's probably what it is.
Prospect.
Can we rehash an argument we had a couple of days ago?
Okay.
Is Crysis
up for rehashing arguments?
A fair replacement for Far Cry, and is there any use in playing Far Cry if you've got Far Crysis?
Yeah, yes. I think Far Cry is still a valid alternative choice.
I think so too.
Because you can have Far Cry that you can't have in
because you buy Crysis for your PC, you realise it won't work on your PC, so you put Far Cry, and then you remember how much fun it is just to buzz around in boats and then do little jumps over into villages and blow stuff up.
And it was just, yeah, it's just a lot more silly and let you do ridiculous things.
Does it have chickens?
This isn't an argument. Yeah. It's mostly a kind of agreement. So I'd like to...
Well, when it came up in the top 100, I was just completely shouted down and said no.
In the what?
A feature that we can't possibly talk about.
Absolutely. We'll be talking about that next month, thank you very much.
By which you mean in like an hour's time.
you're ruining the magic of podcastery.
Revealing the tangled web of chronology that magazines function on.
Hey, listeners, next month you should check out our extra podcast because that's going to be a top 100 special.
And we will have just done it.
And we will have just done it. And it's going to really confuse the numbering system. If you think it's wrong currently it's going to get so much better.
Maybe we could use this to bridge the gap.
No, because we've already got one too many.
Can I just say my idea was that we include it on the desk and have a flash on the top 100 hear us talk about this and then go to the thing, not put it on the website.
I don't think we're going to put it on iTunes. Maybe just be on the site and on the disc. I don't know.
Okay.
We're yet to. That's TBC. We'll work that out in the next few weeks. Instead of in 5 minutes after this. What else is in the charts, Tim?
Number 5, Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War Soulstorm.
Huh. That's still selling. And you know, it's all ridiculous numbers, which is bizarre because the developer's gone out of business. Because they didn't have enough money.
Is it the worst Dawn of War expansion pack?
Well, actually, I really don't like Winter Assault, but that's just because I hate the Imperial Guard and that's all it's about.
Okay.
And I also think it's a really kind of unambitious and just kind of sad effort. Considering that the Imperial Guard were already in Dawn of War. You know, you're making an expansion pack to a Warhammer game, and you've got this huge roster of races to choose from, and you pick one of them that's already in the game and make a campaign about that.
Who was the other race?
What, in Military Assault?
Yeah.
There was only Imperial Guard.
Rubbish.
They were, Necrons just suddenly appeared in the last mission as an enemy. But I think it was just like they rose up and then the game ended. Like, you didn't get to play as them or anything. And so that's how people knew the Necrons were probably going to be in Dark Crusade. And sure
For the heart of thinking, how come the developers of Dawn of War Soulstorm went out of business after finishing the game?
Because they weren't going to get that money anytime soon, basically.
Meanwhile, THQ, surely.
By the end of their development cycle, they were so low on funds that it was just a case of whether they can secure funding for their next project.
Yeah.
So did they owe all the money they were going to make from it to THQ?
I don't know.
I think the Mafia.
There's an interesting thread about this.
Maybe took all their thumbs.
Maybe they spent it all on bagels.
Okay, yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
That's the extent to which we understand the finances.
That's going to be on Wikipedia.
But as I understand it, it's basically the fact that you're going to make a load of money in, you know, 6 months' time is no good when you're already out of money and you've got, you know, your next project lined up and you can't find a publisher who wants to fund it.
Yeah. So the publisher took all the money from Soulstorm, presumably.
I think we need to mark that as possibly happen in the grand libel.
Oh, look, a lawyer's coming. Aye. Good, okay. Well, that's enough libel for today.
Number 2.
Yes.
Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. And number 1.
That's a good game, but as we discovered recently, we don't really like the multiplayer very much.
I'm kind of glad I was off sick. It sounds like it was awful.
It was just a nightmare.
When we put like 30-odd players in a map designed for 10... It was always going to be a little bit irritating.
And we do suck, which doesn't help.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Well, you guys suck.
I didn't see you topping the scoreboard.
I think you'll find I outscore you many times. But yeah, we're not very good. And when you're losing, it's not a very fun game. Whereas at least in Team Fortress 2, sometimes when you get blown up, it's kind of funny. And
can we pause the charts for a moment and promote our brilliant servers?
Yes.
We've got lots of game servers provided by Multiplay, and they're brilliant.
Yes.
And everyone should come play with us.
Absolutely.
We'll be posting, or play amongst yourself.
We'll play amongst yourselves as well.
Yeah.
We'll be posting events and stuff on our Steam community, which is .com, PC Gamer.
What?
Steamcommunity.com?
If only we could snap your URL.
Yeah. I think it's steamcommunity.com/group/PC Gamer.
Okay.
Excellent.
And there's always about 40, 50 people in the chat room, so you can go in and kind of make some friends and see some explosions together.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah. Also, we'll be having a game of Battlefield 2 shortly.
That's how true. Shortly?
Imminently.
What, like before this podcast comes out?
No.
That's good.
Not very
soon. So install Battlefield
2. That was a fun game of Battlefield 2, wasn't it?
Yes. Hey! I'm so confused.
Yeah, so it will be shortly by the time you hear this.
Yeah, install Battlefield 2, get it patched, and we'll announce a date.
Yes. Yeah, we should do that ourselves too.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to join in.
But of course, you can play on our servers at any time. Once you've got them, you know, in your...
I believe they're up 24/7.
They are indeed, and they're not... They're only very rarely passworded when we want to...
When we want to get in before everyone else, we password it.
Yep.
wait in there and then let everyone know the password, yep. which is hilarious because everyone runs to the chat room and the people who use the chat room generally are like, what the hell's going on? There's like 50 people in here. Oh God, the password's this, password this, password this, constantly. It really annoys them actually.
So ha ha.
Yeah.
So lol at you. Yeah.
And that's the end of the charts.
Excellent.
That's the end of the charts.
Yay, I'd forgotten that one. That was nice. Thank you very much. Good. Okay, so I think we probably better talk about the new issue of PC Gamer magazine going on sale on the 5th of June, which is Thursday. So, as we mentioned earlier, there's a very big blue game on. Oh, yeah, you can't miss it in the shops, by the way. Big shiny blue thing. Very eye-catching design. So, World of Warcraft, Wrath of the Lich King. You can tell it's a PC game. It's got a long name.
And a colon.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of fell out of love a little bit with World of Warcraft for a couple of months earlier this year.
And then
we just can't keep away from it.
Tim went out to Blizzard.
Why are you talking about yourself in third person?
Also, the we in this case are the two people opposite us in these surfaces. Yes. Tom and I never.
I was going to suggest actually that you and I, Tim, should always refer to each other by name every time we talk to each other so that everyone knows that we're not each other.
Yes, you don't sound very similar.
Spectacularly failed there. By referring to yourself as Tim.
So I went to Blizzard and started playing, and basically I was given a chance to run around up to about level 66. The area's up to about level 66.
76?
76, rather. And it turns out that Blizzard are really good at making worlds that are fun. Really good at it.
Is this a surprise?
Well, you know, when you become so familiar with the place, as we all have with World of Warcraft, I think, you know, you begin to tire of it, and then your opinions change as to what it was. Then you see this kind of oncoming rush of fresh stuff to see and do and play and find, and it's just brilliant! So now we're starting to get back into the game.
I have a theory about MMOs. People get very excited about forthcoming new ones. Example, Age of Conan just came out, of course. And they say, oh, this is going to be great because it's got all these new features in. And I'm not picking on Age of Conan because we haven't done our review yet, still ongoing. We're trying to be thorough with that. But I think people can forget that it's actually quite easy to mess up simple things that you take for granted in existing MMOs or even existing games. Little things like the interface and the animation and the way everything just fits together. And it's amazing how many new games mess up on the basics. I'm not saying Conan does, but you know, things like Tabula Rasa did. And when you after seeing these, you go back to, you know, an absolute classic that does all the basics perfectly, like World of Warcraft. You're just reminded how well made this game is.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
Tim, do you have any interesting anecdotes from your time over in Blizzard's HQ?
Well, it's funny you should mention that.
Good.
There's a kind of confidence to the Blizzard developers in their game and themselves now, which, because I've met them a couple of times, and they've always been slightly surprised by the success that they've seen with World of Warcraft. But now, basically, there's this kind of acceptance of its success and how they can push it on further and further and further. And it's weird as well is how grateful they seem to be about what the game's done for them. And they really want to kind of honour that.
Does that mean, like, grateful because they've got gigantic rooms full of money?
Well, yes. Yeah. And
did you actually see the gigantic rooms full of money?
Yes.
Is it like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory?
Were they all wearing money hats?
It is a bit like...
Do they have Oompa Loompas?
Yeah, everyone wears money hats. they dress in money.
Do they light their cigars with $50 bills?
Yes.
They ride around on Segways whose wheels are giant coins.
There's a couple of Ferraris in the kind of car park.
And do they have Tauren horns on the front?
The number plate on one of them is
Golden Tauren.
Learn to play.
As in LTP.
And LTP. And I think another one is just pwned like
that. Awesome.
What a bunch of twats. Building.
Twats. If you're listening, twats. Both of you.
They're building a 30-foot bronze statue of an orc riding a wolf. In their kind of communal area at the front of the
building. Nobody even likes the orcs. They're like one of those.
And as a gift, because they've just moved into new offices. As a gift, they're giving everyone a kind of foot-high replica of that statue who works at those offices.
In bronze.
Oh, in God. Bronze.
Nice. That'd go well on your coffee table, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd break your coffee table.
Was that your anecdote? I thought it'd be something hideous that you saw people doing. Or some kind of grotesque...
Is that because I told you an anecdote about tramps having sex in the streets?
Yeah, actually, on the way
to expectations for anecdotes.
On the way to the Peace Gamer studio just now, Tom mentioned that he had not you personally, but your housemate bore witness to
friend's housemate.
Right. Yeah. Saw some tramps, male tramps, having sex in the street in broad daylight.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. No. Oh, hang on, there is.
Actually, there was. Yes, and that's why he called police, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful bath for you, ladies and gentlemen. Come along, be a tourist. Good. So that's
I can't believe you're dissing my anecdote. I think that's brilliant.
It's a great anecdote. It's beautiful.
I'd give it 44 out of 60.
Jesus.
Okay, are those levels?
Yeah.
The screams of the dying?
Yeah.
If, for example, I am someone who didn't get very far in World of Warcraft in the grand scheme of things, kind of hated it at first, then started to really like it around levels 15-ish when all my friends were playing at the same time and we were just running around the Undercity and stuff.
Yeah.
And then around level 30, just kind of got really bored of it and just felt like I was the same character as everyone. But really like kind of the early stages of the game. Is there anything in Lich King that I should care about?
No.
Excellent.
Well, the thing to care about,
it, it doesn't give you new characters, new races. Burning Crusade did give you the Blood Elves.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about Burning Crusade when it came out. Just played the Draenei and went through all their stuff.
And that was
areas.
Fun. Everyone was leveling again and you know, everyone was kind of doing a lot of different things, not just high-end raid dungeons.
They've done a few things.
But there isn't any of that in Lich King, is there?
No, but in the kind of patches, one of the things they've done is I think they've reacted to the fact that it's quite a slow game to solo your way through. There is some terrible quest design in kind of first World of Warcraft. But what they've done is they've basically increased the leveling speed by about 60% throughout the whole game.
Does that mean you'll
I think
get,
my favorite
you'll get
quests
more bored quicker.
My favorite quests were the ones that ask you to kill 20 boars, and then you go back, you say, "Here you go, I've killed your 20 boars." And they say, "Excellent. Now go and kill 20 slightly different boars."
But the grand result of the change to the XP leveling system means you don't have to do those quests. You can do the interesting quests all the time, and you'll get more XP for doing them.
Yeah, that sounds like a
good thing. The other thing is, just don't play it solo, for God's sake. Yeah. Like, play it. Get a couple of mates and just play it and bash the shit out of stuff.
The trouble is,
with the kind of speed that you play it at now, it's like constant ding, ding, ding.
It's 60% faster to level up than it was when it launched.
But in World of Warcraft, I find if I've got some friends, then we can group and that's fine. And even if there's a bit of a level disparity, no one really minds. But if I'm just on my own and no one else I know is playing at the moment, trying to get into groups is not as easy as it is in some of the other games.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
That's true. Well, hey, I'm probably going to sink my teeth back into it, so let's create some new characters.
Yeah. I think I just have like a social objection to, a psychological objection to wandering around the world saying, "Will you help me, please? Yes. Can we play together?"
OMG, I'm a noob. How
enough of that in high school, damn it.
Absolutely.
Basically, it sounds like you're a tramp.
I'm not having sex.
But for anyone who is a big kind of World of Warcraft player, Wrath of the Lich King feels like WoW's greatest hits. And, you know, things like seeing the Goblin Venture Company reappear and druids and everything else that you loved and that big purple kind of pearl city.
Dalaran. Come on, Tim. You're supposed to be the Loremeister.
reappearing. It's just brilliant. And the, what do you call the Scarlet Crusade are back and everything like that. And you just think, this is what I loved about the original game, and they're all here. So
what new animals are there that I might be able to train as a hunter?
Nice. Shovel tusks.
Yeah. Can I train a walrus?
Good question.
Yes, I believe you can.
What? I can have a walrus pet, I'm told.
I think
walrus
so.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that just die on life?
If you're wrong about this, the internet will destroy
okay.
us.
You may possibly could be, I think, maybe train a walrus. And if you can't, guys, put the walrus in just for me.
Because there's like walrus men, aren't there?
Yeah. But they aren't animals.
Yeah. Sadly. I wish you could just have humanoids as pets. Just
get, like, this is my mate Dave.
Get the blacksmith.
Although Lord
the
of the Rings does have do like humans as pets, and it's the most ridiculous thing. You've got this guy carrying a flag for you. It's like, "Hey, this is what I'm your flag carrier."
Who has that?
Lord of the Rings Online.
Is it Captain?
Yeah.
One of the classes,
I guess you can have the adoring fan in Oblivion, can't you?
Yeah.
Man, people are so cruel to him. Just search for adoring fan on YouTube. Hundreds of gruesome, horrible deaths. There's one amazing one I saw the other day where this guy just stands in front of his adoring fan, tells him to wait there, and the adoring fan says, "Here? Why not over there, for example?" And, "Well, you're the boss, I'll stay here." And he just backs off and looks up into the air with his bow, draws it back, and fires off an arrow, and he fires off another arrow, and he fires off another arrow. But 15 hours later, he then just kind of looks straight forwards again, walks up to the drawing fan, and just kind of an awkward silence for like maybe a full minute, and then suddenly just and it slumps down. And then just after that, the arrows just sticking in one by one and make his corpse flinch slightly when he's trying to dum, dum, dum.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The adoring fan in Oblivion. Did you never get in?
No.
Okay, so if that's you win the all the arena quests,
oh,
if you become
right.
grand okay. champion of the arena, like the best gladiator in all of Cyrodiil, right. then this little guy with a stupid blonde quiff follows you around and said, oh, Byazura, it's the champion.
I think I may have killed him.
Yes, everyone does.
After about 10 seconds.
He's actually, I think he keeps coming back no matter how often you kill him.
Oh, maybe I didn't.
I really enjoyed the arena quest, despite the fact they were kind of simplest and most basic just combat stuff. I remember kind of walking into the arena and like a wizard coming out, and all I did was stealth, hid from him, fired one arrow, just almost casually, got him in the face, and just walked back. It's just like this kind of, I am the strongest one there is.
I kept on I had a staff that would freeze people.
Right.
So I would just freeze them and kick them to death all the time until I got up against a guy who could just repel magic and then didn't get any further.
Embarrassing.
I had a similar thing actually because my character was an illusionist who can do paralysis. She could paralyze someone for 10 seconds and the mana cost for that regenerates in less than 10 seconds. So I can basically do it indefinitely. And the great thing about the arena quest is the pre-programmed cheers from the crowd. They don't really know whether what you did was actually very cool or just kind of a dick. And so they just cheer every single blow. And my approach was to paralyze people. And then when on the ground, because I had no real attacks, I didn't specialize in any weapons, I didn't have any good weapons, I just had to kind of punch them.
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
Just completely invisible. Then suddenly they'd go stiff and I'd appear behind them. And then as they're limp on the ground, I'd just be punching them again.
Yeah.
Damn it. It took like easily 10 minutes for some of these guys because they're really tough and I'm really weak. And it was, yes! Yes!
Did you actually grind it? Did you like go into the arena backstage and then sleep for 24 hours and then do it again?
No, I kind of went... I did other things.
I spent a day doing that, basically, until I got to a guy who could repel magic, and then I just lost.
Right.
Good. Nice diversion there. Excellent. So, another thing we talk about in the new issue is how awesome the summer is going to be. Because there's loads of stuff happening. There are various kind of shows, exhibitions, and parties and events happening. All the way through from kind of... Well, I've got a big list here, actually. So, it starts off, well, I guess... E3 in July.
You against that?
Are you?
I don't know.
We haven't waited out yet, have we?
No.
No one's allowed to go but media.
Media. That's right. Sorry, yes. No real people. Just journalists and games developers.
Can we scratch E3 off the list?
Yeah, I did that last year.
Yeah. That's the one where we just go, oh, we're going to you're not.
Didn't it split into two? Didn't they have E3 and then E for every one?
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about, though. I think it just kind of wasn't anything particularly good. There's a few we want to pick out here, because there's a few in America. There's... in Tokyo and so on. I think we mentioned last time that we're having our showdown, the PC Gamer Showdown. Not saying it in the right voice.
It should be called PC Gamer Showdown.
Showdown. Showdown.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. It's good. That is on the 27th and 28th of September. And it's up in kind of Birmingham, Coventry area. A rather nice little place called Stoneleigh Park. You can go to PCGamerShowdown.com. That's the one. For
it
might
be on the bit of paper you've got there.
Sorry?
It might be on the bit of paper you've got there.
Yeah, it is. And I just said what it was. It was more a pronunciation thing than a question of remembering what it was.
I am really, 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 really looking forward to the PC.
Are you just saying that to make our readers feel better?
No, because I really want to just sit around for two days and just play games constantly.
That's what you do every weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you want to do it in a room?
Do you think there'll be some sort of throne there for you?
Because it's going to be in a room with 500 other people.
Do you think it'd be some sort of throne you're sitting on?
No, the throne is for me.
Okay.
We actually have a throne
also,
made of
we're
going to
have a bar at the showdown.
Oh, yeah.
So, by about kind of 7 o'clock, we can be steaming drunk with our readers.
I'm hoping our readers are going to buy us loads of drinks.
Well, exactly.
They will.
I think they're all...
We could put out an
appeal. Probably about... people who attend LAN parties, it's tend to be about 15, so...
No, it's rubbish.
It's 18.
Rubbish.
18's plus, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No. But
the bar will be.
But the bar will be. Because
so just for you two, then. Beckoning children
the
towards...
Older,
with
the
alcohol.
Older readers will be buying us booze.
Kid, can you get me some booze? Like a reversal of the underage drinking thing.
Excuse me, are you Tim Edwards? Yes, I am. Can you get me a pint?
There's some guys on the PC Gamer chat channel on ED... Steam community. We've already said they're going to buy me drinks. So,
oh man, are they going to buy me drinks?
Well, I didn't tell them you were going.
Bastards. Well, I'm going. I'm going to be there. How about you two?
Graham's going. My girlfriend will be here, so I can't go.
Bring her.
Yeah, no. Honestly, no. She'll have a great time.
I don't want to have to fend people off my girlfriend. Okay?
There might be like overclocking demonstrations. She'll love that.
Yeah.
What are we doing in terms of like tournament?
There's going to be tournaments. Yeah.
All right, tournaments.
You can bring your horse, your lance, your armor.
what I mean is, what games are we playing?
Seriously, they do actually have. They normally do like all kinds of shows, agricultural shows outdoors in this place, massive, enormous place. So yeah, they could do jousting.
Okay.
If there's enough demand for jousting, we'll certainly look into
it. Isn't there some kind of like online qualifier rounds or something
right,
coming up?
Yes. Now you're testing my powers of memory. Okay. We've actually got a meeting with our friends at Multiplay on Tuesday where we're going to establish all the fine details. Basically, there's going to be organised tournaments across all your usual favourites. Team Fortress 2, Call of Duty 4, World in Conflict, Counter-Strike, and some others. And big cash prizes. Couple of grand, that kind of thing, each. Or grand, or something like that. We've still got to get all the sponsors sorted out, but that's happening now. And there is going to be some pre-qualifying. And I can't remember exactly how it was. Basically, if you register up for the pre-qualifying, you can play in those and be guaranteed of your team's place in the final, or your individual place in the final at the event itself. We will be keeping some places open at the event itself for kind of latecomers to come and enter at the last minute, though.
But it doesn't mean that you have to enter the competitions to come to the LAN event.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the key thing. You can just come and muck about and play some games, just one-off games. There'll be impromptu tournaments, little mini tournaments, if enough people want to do it. We'll just be running kind of drop-in, drop-out sessions on a super fast LAN. Like I say, it's being all that side of it is being handled by Multiplay, who obviously are the experts in this area. They're doing their own event up at the same location in August, so they are well ahead of the game.
I think it's going to be quite funny when...
Oh, I should add, it is a bring-your-own-computer event. We can't afford to get 500 PCs.
BYOC.
It's also going to be an exhibition as well.
There, we are working on getting loads of interesting things there for people to see.
That'll come after Ross and Tim get drunk, obviously.
Maybe some interesting new things to play, but I can't guarantee any of that just yet.
I think it's going to be funny when lots and lots of people will plug their PCs into one giant LAN and then suddenly discover what folders they still have shared.
yeah. Things you forgot to clean, yeah. Which is why you're not going to be there, because it's your birthday anyway, isn't it?
It is my birthday.
You're going to be off having your...
I'm going to be there.
Barbados, probably.
Yeah. That's where you usually go for your birthday. Yeah.
We should have a giant fire, like, that we can...
Oh, we are. We're gonna, actually, no, the first night we're going to have a barbecue, I think. Hooray. I think the plan is that... Ooh. You can,
are you planning on the barbecue spreading here? Because Tim wants a gigantic fire. You're right. Going to have a barbecue.
Do you remember at the future party we had a giant fire? And it was the best thing.
Yeah. We had a fire the size of a house.
And Ross took his top
threw
off.
Your
yes.
shirt into it.
Yeah, I just because I took my t-shirt off and ran around the fire.
Ross is what is like when he's drunk. People who are going to the PC Gamer Showdown.
Dan really decided to throw my favourite t-shirt. It was a quad damage t-shirt into the fire, and it's out of print, and I can't get a replacement.
Aww.
It's contacted. I bet they have a photo.
Well, maybe.
He works in PR now.
Yeah. Dan Grill, yeah.
Yeah.
Boo hiss.
We have his latest game in for review.
game, I mean. And now that I've remembered the t-shirt incident, let me think. What? Tom's looking very quizzical. What?
He's still in PR, is he?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, come back to our side?
No. Oh, no.
Might have dreamt that.
He's doing some writing on the side.
Yeah,
it's rubbish.
Yeah,
is it all 98% reviews have overclocked?
Okay, so that's the PC Gamer Showdown, and yes, we are very much looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So go along, sign up, and we'll see you there. What else are we going to talk about? I had something really funny to say, and I can't remember what it is now.
I'd like to briefly argue with Tim about Battlefield Heroes.
Dun, 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 dun,
that's come out of the blue.
We have a preview in the new issue.
We do.
Is that one you wrote?
Yes.
In that case, I put it to you, sir, that cartoonifying Battlefield is a terrible travesty and will ruin all the fun that I've had with it.
Wow, that's a metaphorical glove slap to the face.
Because it really did terrible damage to Team Fortress 2.
Yes, granted. However,
this argument is full of holes.
The thing I really like about Battlefield 2 is just how nasty it is. It's just like huge battlefield, dusty streets, and explosions going off all the time, and it just feels gritty and like terrifying.
Which is the best
serious.
Battlefield game?
What
did you get? What did you
I think Battlefield 1942 is the best Battlefield game.
Well, I disagree.
But I really like the kind of slapstick carnage of it. I don't think it's particularly gritty at all, actually. I think it's ludicrous.
Battlefield 2?
Yeah. I think it's pretty cartoon.
Well, when we play and just fly jets into each other and stuff, that's fairly cartoonish. But if you play like the 64-player game on Strike at Carcand, it's just absolutely intense and horrific. Yeah,
that's not going to cut into anyone. You know, Battlefield Heroes isn't going to take anyone away from that, I don't think.
No, I wanted a new game that was like that.
There's Bad Company coming out and you've got an Xbox.
What?
Yeah, but Bad Company is not very good.
Oh, so I don't want to play any features on them.
It's got a nice engine, though.
It has got
it's
nice
a PC.
Engine.
It's not a PC game. No. Come on. Anyway, defend yourself, man.
That's why we're slacking it off to us.
When I spoke to Ben Cousins, who's the producer of Battlefield, at a recent event, and he said, is this it for the Battlefield series? And, you know, the Battlefield series is now a micropayment cartoon shooter thing. And he said, you want me to say, are you making Battlefield 3? He said, we are working on the Battlefield franchises in other ways for the PC. So, you know, I'm fairly certain they'll do...
Graphic novels.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain they'll do a Battlefield 3 that will...
Point and click adventures, I heard.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah.
A gritty
choose
one,
your class.
As long as it's not too cartoony.
Yeah. Like Sam and Max meets Battlefield. It's going to work. Also in this issue, we have...
Sorry, does that answer Tom's argument?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you mind?
No, carry
on. Yeah, thanks. Also in this issue, we have a preview of Spore, because we've played with the Creature Editor. I say a preview of Spore. It's...
Preview of the Creature Editor.
Preview of the Creature Editor, because that's what we were playing with. And it's everything you want it to be. Really.
It's awesome. It's really fun.
What did you make in Spore, Ross?
Well, I've got a theory about this. I think we all... you kind of have to see the page to know really what I'm talking about, but I think there's a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for? Psychiatrist?
Freud.
Yeah, it's all a bit Freudian.
Well, Tim's is called the Freudian Nightmare.
Yeah.
Tim's is called the Freudian
Nightmare. What did you create since Spore?
I created a very powerful, muscular creature.
Tom?
I created a bizarre, kind of freakish, elongated creature whose arms come out of his ass and then reach underneath all of his six legs on which leaves grow.
See, there you go. Freudian, exactly.
So that it can grasp things through its own limbs and... has kind of weird nodules growing on its back.
Craig?
I created an eyeball with many hands with legs, two sets of legs, and one the back legs move over the front legs.
I mean, bizarrely for someone who's not a D&D or has ever been a D&D fan, it's a bit like a beholder. Yeah, you obviously have the right kind of nightmares. And Tim, yours looks like a...
giant cock.
A giant cock.
Let there be no ambiguity about this.
Yeah. And the thing I would have loved for it to be accidental that you made that way without really thinking about it. But no, right from the beginning, I'm going to make mine look like a giant cock because I'm 12 fucking years old. Tim.
It was an important endeavour and it needed to be done because this is what we are all going to be seeing in Spore forever.
Jodie, the poor PR girl from EA, was very embarrassed by the whole spectacle.
My favourite moments about the whole thing was... so I kind of made the... you can kind of mould the clay to the shape you need that you start off with. So I kind of create the basic thing. And
isn't it weird how we all talk about clay?
And the shaft.
It's not like we're all religious or anything.
No, we create the balls and the shaft and the kind of head for it.
Tim's definitely not religious.
And I'd put hairs on the kind of base of it so it looked a bit kind of hairy.
They were almost kind of horns, really, weren't they?
Yeah,
yeah, kind of curly.
Those, like, spindly. Yeah. But then... I put it because we thought it'd be funny to have an eye on the top of it, but it just looked really weird.
Yeah.
So well, the single eye on the tip of the creature would just look really disapproving because it was so high I had to kind of peer down at everything. So it was like a very superior.
Yes, I am a giant cock. What of it?
When you can the amazing thing about Spore is when you put the creature in and bring it to life, it will walk around.
Yeah.
But mine didn't have any legs at first, so we just had this kind of giant cock jumping around the screen and
it's like
and
something out of Viz.
It just kind of bounces.
Well, that's what my original plan was. I was going to make a space hopper creature. So I just created a perfect sphere and had it just moving around like that. But then eventually I went maximum face on it. So I decided to put as many things on it as I possibly could.
Shall we do we need to explain Maximum Face.
It's your concept.
Maximum Face is what you have to do in every creature or character creator is if the sliders for any part of the body, but especially the face, is put all the sliders to maximum and take a screenshot of the freak you create. And that is Maximum Face.
Yeah. So I ran out of body parts, basically.
The best one was that racing game where you created the girl with the maximum face.
Oh, God, that's horrific.
Oh, that's terrifying, wasn't it?
Do you have screenshots of that?
It was like the worst ever plastic surgery gone wrong.
Can we find that screenshot and upload it with this podcast?
So yes. Good idea.
What are you talking about?
I'll give you the album art on iTunes.
Everyone, look at your iPod now and you should be able to see
that. That would be awesome. If we can make that work.
I can make that work.
This episode of the podcast shall be known as Maximum Face.
Yes.
Why don't we get away from the number conventions and just come up with something awesome to call it?
Good idea. Just numbers. Yeah, man, be free.
You've got to have numbers.
Let's stick it to the main.
No, because what needs to happen, okay, is we need to declare an end to this season of the podcast. And start season two.
That means this is the season finale. Something serious has to happen. Most of us have to die.
Has to be a cliffhanger.
We've got to end on a cliffhanger.
Or has it all been a dream?
We've got the top 100.
We don't have time for this!
It's 24 cliffhangers, isn't it?
Yeah, every 24 episode.
I'm kind of baffled. Shocked into silence by
this whole thing. This is the season of cliffhangers and finales.
Oh yeah, I mean, perfect time to sort of end the season at end of May. You
know, that's what's happening in America, right?
Anyway, the end of the story is My Giant Cock is brilliant.
And, in the game,
it will be coming to your game of Spore soon because I will definitely be sharing it online.
I think we all kind of fell in love with our own creatures, actually. And
yeah. Mine is great because mine's got. He looks kind of like a gorilla with a tail, and he's got two really really important features. First of all, he's got an eye on top of his head and an eye on his chin. This is because the world he inhabits in my head, and this is what I want to get across, is that, you know, it's not so much about how the game will treat my creature, it's about how I envisage this creature evolving, having got one eye on top of his head and one on his chin. It's because his species is plagued by terrifying craigodactyls that kind of soar across the plains where he lives. I'm kind of looking off into middle space now, as I can
imagine,
picture
if you will,
this.
Dear listeners.
So he has a big eye on top of his head to keep an eye out for the craigodactyls, and one on his chin to keep an eye out for the little kind of voles that he eats, and then a fifth limb, kind
Does
of
he have
coming,
any depth
coming out
perception
of his lower
whatsoever?
Abdomen, which is useful for support, but also is, instead of a foot, it has a hand that he grabs the things
and
with.
And it's a left hand, I believe.
It's a right hand.
Okay. Does it ward off affections from giant cocks?
It could grasp a giant cock, certainly. Yes.
But it doesn't live on the same planet as the Freudian nightmare. Thankfully.
I really want to find out if I can just send that to get that in loads and loads of people's.
Yeah, basically, it will be populated to everyone's.
Yeah, they're using that.
But they get to rate it as well. They get to say, you know, do you actually like this giant cock bouncing around your world and offending all your creatures?
I think there's a way of.
I suspect they won't.
Making it so that you prefer your friend's creatures as well.
So what
I'm
you're saying is you can tell people, you can tell everyone if you like cock or not.
Yeah.
Right. The other cool thing is, ignoring that joke, is. If you go off and make like a proper serious creature now and like you know, a many yarned mantis or whatever, all your previous designs are saved and you can encounter them as other races. So not only can you encounter them as other like tribes and stuff, but sometimes you'll encounter what's called an epic, which is just a single giant version of some creature.
Oh my God.
So at some point you might encounter a cock the size of a skyscraper just bouncing around your world.
That is amazing.
And in the game.
Yes.
Good.
Speaking of space...
Yeah. Oh, Segway.
Segway.
Wow.
That's the Segway jingle now.
Excellent.
In the latest
issue. I wrote
issue.
Two reviews of space games this issue.
There's
one large and one small.
Shall we talk about the large one?
Yes. The large one is Mass Effect.
Which is on the PC.
Yes, at last. I think I
As I always said it would.
Yes, we did call that, I think, before anyone else.
About 2 years before anyone else knew.
So, because Dr. Greg told me once while we were both shit-faced in a bar in Barcelona.
How did you remember that, but you can't remember all this other stuff?
Because Dr. Greg. Okay.
Yeah, partly that. Also, I just have a really selective memory. I actually remember things better when I'm drunk.
Okay.
I find I forget everything that happened when I was drunk until I'm drunk again. And then that separate memory timeline is
yeah,
going on.
See, that's the thing. There's a normal Tom and there's a drunk Tom. Isn't we call him Drunk Tom.
Drunk Tom is quite different to normal Tom.
Yeah, he kisses girls and everything.
Yeah, it's frightening. You should see him. It's like a machine.
The married woman kisses.
Oh, he's gone red as well. Brilliant.
In Mass Effect, got it on with a
space toad
with a sexually ambiguous alien.
Mass Effect is brilliant. I love it.
Yes, it is brilliant. For many, many reasons. And I think many of them are related to the aliens in it. The species in there are... basically, there are loads of brilliant ones. But your best companion, I think, is Rex, who's a Krogan.
Space toad.
Yeah. They're really kind of bitter, angry, warlike race who are cursed with a genophage, which means like only one in 10 of their children survive childbirth. So it's actually really dark.
Like toads.
It's like toads.
Right.
But essentially, there's lots of things that went really badly wrong in their race's history. And you get a chance to make almost all of them worse. And to destroy all hope of their civilization ever recovering.
What are the guys
called? More or less that.
What are the guys called who they show they have no way of expressing emotion?
The Elcor.
The Encore. Elcor. Genuine gratitude.
Yeah, the Elcor ambassador, just one of the first people I really talked to in that game that I didn't have to, you know, the first kind of side quest I did. I was just talking to that guy, and he is just hilarious. I wish there was an Elcor companion you got to take with you at some point. Because I asked him about his racist history, and he says, genuine enthusiasm. I am always delighted when somebody asks of our race's culture. Because it's so interesting.
That sounds like a pretty good impression.
It's perfect.
Good work, Tom. Very Futurama.
Working on that.
I had a dream that I was really good at doing impressions. Just the other night. I woke up and thought, oh, brilliant, I'm excellent at impressions. Then I thought,
it's become like a growing thing on PC Gamers that we've started doing more impressions of games.
I think it started with the Witcher one, with the first innkeeper who keeps saying the same thing over and over again. So every time we talk to him, he says, what do you want? Anyway, Mass Effect is brilliant. Yes. And you get to give a speech to your crew, which I think was the highlight of the game for me. Because it's got kind of not exactly time-sensitive dialogue system, but a system where when someone's saying something, you see your options before they finish talking. So sometimes you know what they're going to say because you know what you can say in response to it, which is kind of weird. But it means that basically if you pick things quickly, then the conversation flows nicely. I thought it was going to be like a time-based thing where if you don't answer in a certain amount of time, they get annoyed with you or whatever, but it's not. You can spend as long as you like.
It is the thing that I love about it is the way it treats you as a space captain, and you're not just kind of being constantly nagged to do this or nagged to do that. All the crew look at you with this kind of level of respect.
And everyone, when you talk to you, you've always got an option just to tell them to shut the hell up. I'm a commander. I'm a spectre.
And then punch them.
Yeah, you just Jack Bauer. Oh yeah,
now you know how my life is. It's great.
Your morality scale, rather than being good to evil, is paragon to renegade. And it's actually a kind of two-dimensional thing because you can be both a paragon and a renegade at the same time. So you can be a guy who does loads and loads of good for society, but is also a total badass and doesn't show any mercy to, you know, your enemies.
Oh, you mean like it's like a graph?
Yeah, except it doesn't show it that way. But
yeah, or a pie chart.
Which is really, really good because in every other game, if you do something good and then you do something bad, they cancel each other out. You end up in the middle of the scale. You don't get any bonuses for doing anything. Yeah. You know, there's no kind of recognition for what you've done. And in this, I mean, basically Jack Bauer is the ultimate paragon and the ultimate renegade at the same time. Yeah. So he would be just both ends of the scale at once.
He's extreme.
And this is one of the only games where you can be that character, and that actually lets you do it. And if you've got enough, basically various options open up to you if you've got enough renegade points, and most of them involve just punching the person you're talking to. There's some fantastic montages on YouTube of just like every moment where Shepard gets to punch someone in the face. When you put them together, it's just...
And he or she can be the greatest dick in game.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I mean, the thing that I like most about it was just that my character was awesome. She was a female Shepard, and the voice acting for the female Shepard is brilliant. And it's one of the only games where my protagonist felt like a proper character and was just kind of taking charge and just kicking ass, basically.
Kieran, I've just been talking to Kieran over MSN, and he's playing this at the moment, and he's just completely in love with his character. Just having exactly the same experience. Mass Effect, highly recommended.
Out on June the 6th, which is the day after our new issue. And we should point out that...
Segway.
I'm
lampshading the segway.
I had an alternative segue there. I've actually got two segues.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to tell you them both. We're only going to follow
branching
one.
Branching
segue. Yeah. This is like kind of
a dialogue
tree.
We should be sponsored by Segway.
Mass Effect, due out on June the 6th, not the highest scoring game on our new issue, which in fact is...
Galactic Civilizations 2, Twilight of the Arnor.
Which you can tell is a PC game because it's got a very long name and a colon. Or Rewind, alternative segue. So Mass Effect then is out on June the 6th, and contrary to earlier reports, it does not have a ludicrous copy protection system.
That's correct.
How'd you like my double segue? Which one should we go down?
You could ride
text
them both
in,
at once.
Text well, in one, now. One involves... Calls cost a quid a minute, yeah. And you can choose which Segway we go down.
So you have to, a phone yeah, that can call
you have
the
to
past.
Give your phone number out now. Right?
Just getting the results through now. Ah, right, we're going to go with the copy protection one. Craig, tell us about that.
Well, midway through...
Sorry, I've got
through,
a bit of a temperature. I'm a bit hysterical.
Yeah. Midway through... was it April or May? When are we? Are we May or no?
We're still in May, although okay. You'll be hearing this in June in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Sometime in the recent past, they announced before the game came out, which or before the game comes out, that they would be having this copy protection, which involved installing the game, it contacting a server to say, okay, CD's fine. Then 10 days later, it contacting the server again.
To see if you still had... The disc, presumably.
Yeah, I think it had well, to have no, disc in the drive.
The CD code, the CD yeah, key CD hasn't code. Been used.
Hadn't been shared, but to yeah. someone else.
It actually, it wasn't going to require the CD either way. Like, no. This was supposed to be a replacement for having the CD in the drive. And it would try and check every time you started up. And if it couldn't check
every
for 10 days in a row,
right.
Then it would
so
stop working.
So, basically fine for most PCs that are always on broadband enabled. You wouldn't even know it's happening. But if you...
Have it on a laptop, see.
Game on a laptop that has irregular net contact, then you're screwed.
If you are, say... in the military and have sporadic access to the internet, which is basically where I think a lot of the backlash has kind of really come from.
To be fair, those guys should be out killing people instead of playing Mass Effect.
Instead of screwing Blue Space Aliens.
Yeah. So they announced this copy protection and the internet being the internet had a massive, utterly huge shit fit over it. Yeah. Because it seemed unreasonable and because... they were going to do it with Spore as well.
Yes, that's right. So not just Mass Effect, also Spore.
And then, like, a day and a half later, I think, it wasn't a long time.
Yeah. We were planning our story about it, trying to get contact with the relevant people. And
they
then all
said,
of a sudden,
okay, we've listened to you guys and we've changed the system.
It's quite interesting. I've spoken to EA in the past, like some of their PR people, and it's not just, this isn't just a phenomenon for EA. It's a lot of the big game publishers. Is that they really, really listen to message boards now.
Yeah.
And any sign of a backlash, they will back down. There's all this kind of feeling that games publishers are stupid, they never listen to anything that's being said.
It's actually, not true, it's just a myth. Yeah. They do listen. I mean, they listen, whether they'll act on what you say is a different matter, but they do at least listen. And I think in this case, they realised that they were just going to generate far more bad publicity than they were going to save in terms of what they perceive to be a good method of copy protection.
So what it does now is whenever you download something for the game, it checks in because you've been online.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's fair enough.
And yeah, it means you don't need to play with a disc in the drive for Mass Effect. You just install it.
That's something they wanted to get away from in the first place, do you think?
Yeah.
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 Right. I
really appreciate that.
I lose every disc I've ever owned.
It's, even if you're really anally organised like me, it's still a pain in the ass.
In the original FAQ they had for when the copy protection measures were going to be this draconian, ridiculous system, one of the frequently asked questions was, what if the EA secure ROM servers go down? And the answer was, we don't foresee any problems with the EA secure ROM servers. Of course you don't foresee them, that's why they're problems.
We asked Valve about that when we were there a couple of months ago. They said they've got a contingency plan. They won't tell us what it was.
I think it's a lever.
Yeah, it's just a big fucking button, isn't it?
It's a big button, and then
the Valveplex lifts into space.
All the heads on Mount Rushmore kind of slowly revolve.
Gabe Newell's head is behind them all, no, twice as big.
Blasts off into space, turns into a massive satellite, which has all your Steam info on it, and then transmits it directly into your brain. That's exactly what happens.
Gordon Freeman gets to push the button to make it launch as well.
Well, you're off to see Valve next week, aren't you, Craig, so you can ask him.
Yes, I will give them all.
Ask him about that Gabe Newell satellite thing.
We need to draw the diagram before we go.
We'll send you felt tips and everything. good. Okay. Well, we've covered a new issue. We've covered Mass Effect.
Tom wants to talk about his other space game.
So segment number two, Mass Effect. Then, not
so
actually
of
the high
in space.
Can we do the rewind noise again? Yeah.
Mass Effect. Then, out on June the 6th. Not actually the highest scoring game in the new issue, although it's very high scoring. There is, in fact, an even more interesting game, which Tom is now going to tell us about.
We haven't talked about the copy protection yet.
Round Craig as well. that would be Galactic Civilizations 2 Twilight of the Arnor.
Which you can tell is a PC game because it's got a very long name and so on. This is going really well.
It's good, isn't it?
Galactic Civilizations is a great name. Twilight of the Arnor is not.
You've been thinking about this.
Galactic Civilizations tells you that it's civilization in space, which is more or less what it is. with a few important differences. But Twilight of the Unor, who knows what the Unor is? Who
cares? And there's no Twilight in space.
Exactly.
Well, surely there is.
Sorry for stealing your thunder.
If the planet merges in front of the sun, then you will get a twilight, surely.
Yeah, but it's planet dependent. Whereas if you're looking at a galactic empire, then there's no kind of twilight for the whole
thing. And the sun never sets on a galactic empire.
If you go fast enough, what needs to be done is like redshift.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's kind of close to it.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Even if no one else did.
It's all right.
The Arnor.
I'm sure thousands of people listen to our podcast got that and really appreciate it.
At least 12 of them.
No, I think I'm dead clever.
The Arnor are boring. They're basically just the whole plot of all the Galaxy of Games, or at least this generation of Galaxy of Games, has been about some ancient precursor races. The evil ones are the Dreadlords, the good ones are the Arnor. And the last expansion pack was all about the Dreadlords. Well, so was the original game. And this one's all about the Arnor. And it's basically, in Dark Avatar, the main campaign, you actually played as the evil guys, and it was the evil guys versus the incredibly evil guys. So the main political debate
I hate those incredibly evil guys.
The main political debate was between the race
Nazis
who thinks,
versus communists.
Who thinks that everyone they conquer should be forced to work in slave camps until they die, and the race that thinks everyone should be killed instantly, not even
really
used
Nazis
slaves.
Versus communists, then. Right, okay.
But now, this time, you're playing as the good guys again. The Terrans are back, as we are called.
Boring Terrans.
In the Galaxy of Universe. And the campaign's actually really good for once. Usually the campaign's kind of a bit of a bore because you're just playing essentially modified skirmish games. And as soon as you finish one, you know, you've spent weeks and weeks researching all these techs and building your way up to this awesome position, and then it just all resets and you've got to do it all over again. Whereas this one is very kind of focused on objectives and stuff, and a lot of the missions are about, you've got this group of ships, you've got to get to this planet on the other side of the galaxy, and there's just warring races everywhere. And so it actually really changes the way you play it, and it's really exciting. Cool. And there's a mission where everyone's at war and you've got to kind of bring peace to the region, so you're just trying to negotiate between these like races just hate each other and trying to destroy each other.
What Tom manages to make very sound very exciting is in fact quite a low graphics turn-based strategy game. I think he does a magnificent job of doing so.
Thank you.
It's a miracle. How are we doing for time? Can anyone see what it says on the screen over there? I can't actually see it from
here. It says red line, green line. Yeah.
White line moving, green line moving as I speak. Wow. That's cool.
God.
I think we should stop when we've run out of things to say rather than necessarily a time limit. There's no bandwidth problem with the internet nowadays.
Yeah, but I've got stuff to do.
But we've got the whole afternoon.
I have an awesome letter from a reader.
Awesome. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think we probably need to hear awesome his voice. From a reader. Yeah.
Shall I?
No.
It came as a text message, so I don't know. Okay. This is an extremely, extremely nerdy email.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was rude.
No, no, this is a text message from a reader who has noticed that page 90, issues 188, the pick of Unreal Deal Pack, the writing on the bloke's gun is Star Wars text and says Great Green. Why? This comes from Carl Hart, and who is a genius, basically. This is a screenshot in the Dare Back section of the Unreal 3 pack. And it's a press shot that was actually released before the game. And so it's using a placeholder texture for the link gun. And on it, there's just these nonsense glyphs that, you know, no one would pay any mind to, except Carl Hart, who has noticed that they're written in Arubesh, which is the text language used in the Star Wars films every time something's written down. So it's the text version of Galactic Basic, which is the language everyone speaks in Star Wars. And he's translated it, and it says Great Green.
On the rocket launcher?
No, on the link gun, to be green, but it's actually white in the ET3 game.
It'd be appropriate on the goo gun.
Yeah, and I've just noticed in-game, I say just noticed, I'm not playing ET now, but when he asked about it, I looked it up in-game, and there is text on the link gun, but they've changed it to just be weird squiggles.
Interesting.
This is probably someone out
there. As opposed to a made-up language from Star Wars.
Yeah, which I think is probably copyright infringement, right?
I got a letter
I'm absolutely astonished.
That someone took issue with my pointing out that the majority of magic in Lord of the Rings was basically Gandalf something.
I might have to put that in a future issue. I think I left it out of the next tables.
The kind of sum total of magic in Lord of the Rings is Gandalf summoning an epic mount and talking to butterflies. But he wants to point out that actually there's an enormous amount of magic.
I think you're all fine.
The fact that he resurrected himself is pretty clever.
During the second movie, when Gandalf appears above the great battle and starts running down the hill at orcs fighting people, my girlfriend turned to me and said, horses couldn't run down the hill at that angle.
They tilted the camera, that's how they did it.
I just said, shut up. There's a wizard on it, for God's sakes.
Well, on that note, I think we better stop for the day.
Can we have a cliffhanger? Oh my God, Tom's died.
Oh, but what's that coming through the door?
It's a giant.
So we'll see you next time. On that, it's not going to work, is it?
No.
No.
Well, if we thought it sooner, it would have worked. But
there's an interesting fact about
rubbish at making
it
the world
thought of sooner. We didn't plan these
that
things.
We can leave on a, sorry. There's an interesting fact about boars in Wrath of the Lich King.
Go on.
We could use as a cliffhanger. I'll tell you next time.
But I want to know now.
Well, he's quite a cliffhanger. That's all point.
Oh, I see. Right, well,
what
in
you
that
did
case...
is you inadvertently lampshaded his version of the cliffhanger trope.
Yeah, well, it looked like I did it inadvertently. In fact, I did it vertently. No. On that note, we will all say goodbye. So goodbye from the gang.
Bye.
And goodbye from me, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
The Teletubbies?
Yes, we are now the Teletubbies. Shut up, I'm trying to say goodbye. Bye.